now go to item number two.
From the Director of Audit, submitting an informational report titled Residency of Contractor Employees Working on County Construction Contracts. This item is referred to the Committees on Transportation, Public Works, and Transit, as well as this committee, and is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee. The TBW committee took no action on this item.
Good morning, Mr. Hare.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee.
If you bear with me. Jerry Hare, Director of Audits. In 1995, this board adopted a policy that for construction contracts awarded by the county, contractors would hire 50% of the workforce from Milwaukee County. For a lot of reasons, including an economy that looked quite different from the one we're in now, this initiative was abandoned, ignored. In 2010, you reignited a policy that carried forward the 95 goals into construction projects issued after July 1 of 2010. You also charged the Department of Audit with following through to see how that effort was going. When we looked at the first several months of activity under this requirement, we noted that there were 27 projects worth about $8.1 million where the 50% contractor residency goal was applied. And we only had invoices in the door of about $123,000, but we still wanted to take a look at how things were going because it was being reignited. We want to make sure we had the right protocols and practices to see that it would succeed. Indeed, what we found was only 26% of gross wages had been paid to county residents. And only one project was meeting the goal. They're actually at 51%, just over the 50% level. And one project had clearly reached a point where it would not achieve the goal. The rest were in process. One of the critical issues in dealing with this administratively would be to look at that outcome and try and come up with incentives and disincentives. I think that's the kind of thing that administratively it's within the grasp of DPW and DAS and audit and court counsel to develop, and we could clearly get support or guidance from you on disincentives and incentives. However, there is one issue that is much more important than policy administration of the existing requirement. And that goes to the opinion that we've received from Corp Counsel that we cannot apply this provision to projects with federal and state funding. I mentioned before that we had $8.1 million of projects subject to the goal. A number approximately six times that amount not subject to the goal because it involves federal state funding. Now, this is something that it's not static. There are other things going on. You've read about the state budget and some of the initiatives of the governor that will affect requirements that are placed into construction contract language. I think where this leaves us as a government is that you've adopted a clear policy directive. Our attorneys have told us what we can't do. We believe that the next appropriate step for this government is to find out what we can do, to find out how we can move within federal and state law to apply the intention of your adopted policy. That's a matter that has been placed in the hands of Corp Counsel. The work group that helped develop this most recent initiative of yours is willing to work with them. But in reflecting back on the TPW action, I think you could just trust us to go forward and try and come up with that. However, I would suggest you at least this morning consider a more formal directive referral to Corp Counsel to work with the Contractor Residency Work Group to come back to you and give you some teeth. Clearly, this economy at this point is not going anywhere fast. There's never been a better time. This is your intent to deal with these issues. And reflecting on the very good conversation we had at TPW, I think it would make sense for you as policymakers to give that clear message to those of us who work for you that you want us to find a way to do whatever we can to achieve this goal. We believe we know what we can't do. We need to find a way to do what you believe we should do. Thank you, Madam Chair.
With any action that we do take, just more in regards to what Mr. Harris said, that we moving forward, I think that we need to fast track the process. So whatever we direct them to do, it shouldn't take something that takes 6 to 8 months. Like come back in the October cycle with some type of recommendations that we can take moving forward. Thank you, Madam Chair.
So, Supervisor, is that in essence a motion to refer to Corp Counsel and staff will report back next cycle with recommendations?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay. Supervisor Weishaupt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Hare, do you have an idea if this were to change from, say, 40% residency to, say, 60% residency, the number of jobs in which we'd be talking about?
Madam Chair, I do not. I apologize. That's a very interesting question. We talked about percentage of payroll. Clearly, $124,000 is not a lot of payroll. On the other hand, $8 million is, and $48 million certainly is. So we could check the headcount on it, and that's something we could get back to you on. The trend line on the payroll dollars is not favorable if you look at page 2 of our report, mm-hmm. but we don't have a headcount, and I think we could get you one quite readily.
Thank you. And also, I think what this report really points out is that over the years, how Milwaukee County has transitioned from doing things in-house to contract services, that you wouldn't have a residency problem if these construction projects or contracts were handled in-house, because Milwaukee County, to be a Milwaukee County employee, you have to live in Milwaukee County. It's as simple as that. If we built our own roads, if we built these things rather than having a private contractor do it, you would see 100% of this money, whether it be money coming from the state or from the federal government on this. So I think this just goes to show the extent in which Milwaukee County has been privatized and the detrimental effect that it's had on our economy, our local economy here, instead of actually bringing money in and supporting jobs here in Milwaukee County, it has actually been kind of siphoned through the system and ends up actually benefiting some of the more wealthier counties in the state, because that is where some of these construction companies are located. So I just think that's an important point to make, and if we could get some type of jobs numbers, I think that would be important for some type of analysis in the future. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I support the referral in answer to Supervisor Weishaupt's question. While I'm hesitant to quote former County Executive Walker as a source on this, when we passed the 3-year capital bonding project using stimulus funds, that was part of the impetus behind it when Supervisor Thomas and I proposed this, sort of reinstituting this, because Walker had said that it would create 1,000, there would be 1,000 jobs as a result, and given the audit's previous analysis, it meant that 666 of them were going out of the county, and so we really wanted to flip that. We hoped to flip it, but certainly to bring it into a equilibrium. So that was the impetus, was that we had that huge surge in capital spending through the stimulus that we hoped to capture, but obviously going forward, and or obviously if we were to pursue changes in our policy to bring some of this stuff back in-house, it would have an even greater effect. But I do support the referral, and I just want to recognize and appreciate audit staff on this and helping us to, particularly as two guys in our first term that didn't remember 95 and what the county had that the county had in fact done this, and so we went back and dug through the archives to find the history, and appreciate that help, and hopefully we can really get this in force. I look forward to it.
Mr. Hare, is your work group, will you be talking to the kind of the top key department heads who would be affected by this contract, this goal?
Madam Chair, yes. In fact, one of the few things we have fairly good centralization on in this county is the administration of our construction contracts. And Mr. High is our primary contact point. He obviously has interaction with property managers around the county. But I have to tell you how impressed I am. When he caught just the idea that this might be coming through, he started to prepare for implementation. And I think he's developed some really good procedures and forms and tracking of his own. I think what's lacking here is the teeth that he needs to actually make this happen. So we'll continue to work with him and any other project managers across the county to make sure it's effective.
And as part of this follow-up, I'm going to request that we ask Mr. High to be here, as well as a representative from the county executive's office, to publicly comment on
the recommendations that are being made and their support or any issues they may have with it. So I'd like to have that as part of the agenda as well. Okay. There's a motion to refer to Corp Counsel.
Madam Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry, Supervisor.
No problem. So it's noted that only one project has met the residency requirements and that they have until the completion of the project or the contract to actually meet it. But what I guess the point I'm trying to make is, at what point do we tell them to get their stuff together?
Well,
like you're lollygagging here. We need you to comply with what you said that you would do in the contract and employ residents. And I think that the fact that only one project is only meeting the goal and that we have eight other projects not, what are we doing in response to put some muscle behind the policy?
Madam Chair, that goes to the incentives and disincentives. And I think Greg High, when he laid out some alternatives for us, first of all, he wants to make sure we can do it legally. But when he talked about where we can do it, he talked about both sides of that equation, incentives in terms of full compliance or exceeding compliance, and disincentives, including debarment, for those who don't. In terms of the timing, we've seen this with the DBE component of some of our requirements. It's quite possible that a contractor will make up a significant percentage of their goal at the end of the project. Let's say, for example, they're doing a construction project and their DB component is painting and carpeting. That's at the end of the project. That's after the walls and roof go up. So our contract managers know that. If, on the other hand, they're using a DB that is involved in foundation work and the frame's up, they know that they've missed an opportunity here. They are, I think, across the county, fairly good at tracking and pushing contractors. That's why when we did the DBE audit many years ago, professional service contracts had less than 1%. Construction projects had more than 25%. They've developed a history and a process for making sure that contractors do what they're supposed to do. Now, having said that, we in this room need to make sure that they have the clear direction from the policymakers and maybe incentives and disincentives that we have to build in on the front end. Those can cost you money, those can save you money, depending on how they're structured.
Okay.
One final comment, Mr. Hare, related to what Supervisor Bill just said. Years ago, there was a park that was rebuilt in or redone in my district where the contractor laid all the shrubbery and planted over 100 trees. And every single tree, they left all the burlap on and killed all the trees. And it was so bad, it took over a year of monitoring and enforcement threats, even went to the press, and eventually that contractor made good. And all the negative impacts that the county could put into place, we were removing payment, et cetera. But bottom line, there was a resolution that I sponsored. It was adopted by the board that required that if a contractor had noncompliance with one department, that other departments not bid on him, because one of the things the contractor did was laugh at the Parks Department, who was managing contracts, saying, well, I've got a bunch of other county contracts. After that was adopted, which would require departments to share default information, over a year and a half later, no departments, as we rechecked and followed up, had any clue that resolution had ever been adopted, had any clue that it was ever a policy, and we found examples at that time of contractors who default for one department and then getting a nice plum contract in another department. So a biggie for me will be what you all say about the compliance and the monitoring, so that this is a big enough county, departments still don't talk to each other, and if we've got a bad contractor in this area, I don't want them then to turn around and get a contract somewhere else. So if you could have that as a spelled out component, I would appreciate it. We learned the hard way in that one. The guy walked out with 500,000 of other contracts as well. Okay. There is a motion. We haven't voted on it, have we?
No.
Okay.
No.
Any other comments or questions? Please call the roll.
Liska?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Washon?
Aye.
Rummel West?
Aye.
Thomas?
Aye.
Biddle?
Aye.
Madam Chair?
Aye.
7-0 no. The item will be referred to Corp Counsel and staff. We'll report back in October.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you.